Now this morning we are in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. By the way, we said last week that the Gospel of John is not included in what? The Synoptic Gospels, Now that's there's two, there's actually three syllables in there, but there's two words in that word, sin. Now what does sin mean? Same. Means same. And then optic means seeing, same seeing. So those three books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called synoptic gospels because they have similar makeup, they have similar content, whereas the Gospel of John is unique from those three. So that's synoptic. Now I've given you this lesson twice. I'm going to ask you again next week. Plant it in your heart. All right, so we're in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. As we continue our short series about this wonderful, and I'm using that word wonderful to indicate full of wonder, as we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at the Son of God, as we look at the Savior of the world, deign, which means to humble himself for the benefit of those disciples who choose to leave all and follow him. Our Lord is a servant. And he teaches in this lesson servanthood. Because when you enter his body, when you enter Christ, he expects you to have the mind of Christ, and he's working on you to have the mind of Christ, and that mind is a servant mind. So Jesus Christ is the teaching Savior. For all he does is aimed at bringing his followers to have his mind, to reveal himself to them that they may live a holy life, a life of faith, a life pleasing to the Father. You know, we're created to live a life pleasing to our Creator. Now, that just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It's very logical. If a Creator creates something, he wants that creation to please him. And he has decreed that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So he therefore says, the just shall live by faith. Why? Because he desires to be pleased by his creation. So, Jesus Christ is always about his Father's business. And that business at the Last Supper is to wash the feet of his disciples. So in John 13, 4 and 5, we read this. He riseth from supper. He lays aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So we see then 12 disciples plus Jesus Christ at the supper table. All of them, I suppose, knew the custom for clean feet. While dining at a table with your legs exposed, with your feet exposed in a prone position, feet outstretched. And they all knew of this custom, no doubt, but no slave had washed their feet upon their entrance, nor had they been asked to do it themselves. There hadn't been any provision for that. They all came to the table with unwashed feet. So, did any of them wonder who was going to get up and wash their feet? Was that on their minds? We don't know. But it should have been. Each one had the opportunity here to serve the others and their master by taking the position of servant and washing their feet. But you know, if you have a servant's heart, do you have a servant's heart in your neighborhood, for instance? Do you see someone in your neighborhood that perhaps could use your help? Perhaps could give you entrance into their lives that you might show them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a servant's heart. Is there an elderly person in your neighborhood that could help have a hand? Can you do that? Do you have that kind of heart? Well, Jesus Christ had that kind of heart, and he saw the need. You know, sometimes we just don't see the need, or we don't want to see the need. But there's needs all around us. There's needs all around us. So each one had that opportunity to serve the others and to serve their master. Their master had dirty feet also. Couldn't they have gotten up and washed his feet? But none of them moved to satisfy this important need. My, how that is so normal. It's so normal to let the need not be satisfied because it may upset our day. Maybe it's not maybe we think it too low for us to do it. So many of the men were rough, coarse men, men of the sea, fishermen, outspoken men, unrefined men. So to wash another's feet, one would not even consider. Such a lowly task for these men. And you think about Peter washing the feet of John, or you think about Andrew washing the feet of Philip. Perhaps they might deign or lower themselves or humble themselves to wash the feet of Jesus because he was their master, but to wash the feet of the other disciples, unheard of. Think about yourselves here in this group. Would you wash the feet of your brother or your sister? Would you come to their aid in the time of need? They had their pride. We have our pride. It's so, you know, we hang on to our pride as if it's some treasure, as if it's a bank account that we need to guard against. But they had their pride. They certainly were not inferior to any of the other disciples, were they? They think that way. The world thinks that way. When you serve, that you must be inferior to the one you're serving. That's not the way of the Lord. So what was the precedence? Who was first among them? Well, you would think that Jesus Christ was first among them, was he not? And he was the first to move. Wow, what a difference. What an opposite thing from the world. The one that had the precedence, he was the one that moved into being a servant. So by doing so then, he teaches his own a most beautiful and necessary lesson. Jesus Christ, doing all things decently and in order, is deliberate about his service. He removes his outer garments, which were generally taken off to work, and also were used as a cover for sleep. They had multi-use of their things. They didn't have the things that we have, closets full of things and blankets and pillows and all the things that we have. They used their things for different purposes. So he took off those things so he could work, and he girded himself with a towel, handy for the drying of the feet of his disciples. He filled a basin with water and began to wash the feet of his disciples. So 24 dirty feet to wash. But Jesus Christ is deliberate. Jesus Christ is focused. He has no speeches. He doesn't say, look what I'm going to do now. I'm going to wash your feet. No, he just goes about the service. Doesn't make a big deal out of it. Doesn't announce his service. Doesn't raise his hand to get praise out of his service. No speeches, no discussions. Just service to those who are supposed to be serving him. So we're given in to see in this passage the Lord of glory. Think about who's doing this now. Think about the Lord whom angels adore. Think about the Lord whom angels fall in worship and praise. Think about the Lord who left the glories of heaven, and we now see him on his knees before his disciples with a basin of water, washing their dirty feet. He carries that basin of water to each one. He carries that towel covering his nakedness, and he wipes the wet but now clean feet of 12 men. Oh, how he loves them to the uttermost. You know, he loves us. He loves you. My, he died for you. Why would he die for such a sinner as I? But he died for me, and he loves them to the uttermost. He teaches them that to have uninterrupted fellowship with him, he must wash their feet to remove the dirt and grime that the feet gather as his disciples take their daily walk. You know, it was afterwards, when the Lord returned to his Father, that the disciples finally connected all of his teaching, not only to a natural lesson, but a spiritual lesson. And Jesus Christ will refer to that as we go through this. But they didn't understand these things at the time. They just saw this as a natural thing, that he was washed the feet. But every lesson that he gave, and every time you read the scriptures, you say, what's the spiritual lesson in this? What am I learning from this of an eternal value? So this is a picture of Jesus Christ's washing of sin by the Word of God. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the Word of God. What washes away sin? The Word of God. This is a picture of Jesus Christ washing of sin by the Word of God, for symbolically the dirt on the feet is the sin of the world, and Jesus is the Word of God, the cleansing power. So that's the lesson that we're to learn. Peter didn't learn this lesson at this time. To have fellowship with Jesus Christ, there must be a spiritual washing by the Word of God. And he teaches the principle of service without pride in one's position or power. He teaches that his disciples are to serve one another in humility and love, a position that is opposite to the world's teaching of position and power and rank. Oh, how the world loves to have rank. How do you fit in the rank? Well, if you fit up here, then those below you serve you. You don't serve them, they serve you. Jesus is teaching the opposite, is he not? But Peter does not understand the significance of the principles that Jesus Christ is teaching, as we see in John 13:6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter's watching. He's astounded. He has in his heart to say something, objecting to this practice. And the Lord has finished several of the disciples. We don't know what order he was in, whether Peter was the last or Peter was the sixth or what. But he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Probably said it boldly like that because Peter was bold. Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Now Peter has watched his Lord washing the feet of his fellow disciples. Jesus has not spoken, but he has simply served. They have accepted his service in silence, without opposing his service. I'm sure they were astounded too, but they seemed to have a little more discipline of speech. And there was no objection. But this was not to be with Peter. We've seen Peter and his enthusiasm for speaking. But it was not to be with Peter. He was not going to let his master stoop, in his mind, stoop so low on his behalf. Peter had the idea that service was stooping. So he asked that question, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Not to get an answer, but to indicate opposition. He was opposing the Lord. Remember how he opposed the Lord when the Lord said he was going to die for him, die on the cross? Oh, no. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, the Lord was so bold and so truthful. So Peter's question is a normal question from a worldly point of view. It shows his worldly mindset. For the world says that serving is low, but Christ is high and lifted up. Therefore, a person of Jesus Christ's high and lifted up position, a position that Peter called the Christ, remember, Peter called him the Christ, should not lower himself to serve according to Peter. Peter had an opinion, not based upon the Word of God, but based upon Peter's culture. Peter, the world position. But Peter, that is not a Christian position, but it is a worldly position. That is not the mind of Christ. That is not the mind of God. You know, don't you want to know the mind of God? How do you know the mind of God? You know the mind of God by this book. You can know the mind of God by looking at His creation and seeing the beauty of His creation and all the intricate parts and all the diversity. And you can know the mind of God, especially by knowing this book. The Christian position is that service is high. The Christian position is that servanthood is the highest position in God's order of things. My, that's backwards, isn't it, according to the world? To hinder someone from service is to indicate that service is of low value. And to hinder God's benefits, to shun God's service is to lift oneself with pride as if not in need of those benefits. You know, God daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, if you wrote down all the benefits that you get every day, even from the littlest things, when you go into the pantry and there's some potato chips, God provided the potato chips. God provided the salsa to dip your, what do you call those crackers? You dip those in there. God provided you the mirror to look at your face so you don't have to come to the church looking like a mess. You know, God provided all these benefits. And you don't want to shun God's benefits, do you? And yet we shun God's greatest benefit, the salvation of our soul, and we push that aside as if it's lowly. And the air that we're breathing, every breath is trust in God that there will be another one. And yet we take advantage of that all the time, every breath. Am I going to get another breath? You think God's going to provide? Oh, there's one. We don't think that way, do we? But God daily loadeth us with benefits. He daily serves us. And we're to daily serve others by sharing those benefits. Sharing that found honey with others. You know, God blesses you, you're to bless others. God gives you things to bless others with, not to just keep them and hoard them. But God gives those to you so that you may share them to others. You know, God gives us arms to serve. God gives us legs to serve and minds to serve. What are we doing with those legs? What are we doing with those arms? And what are we doing with those minds? God expects us to serve. So Peter, servanthood is the example that God continually gives us. But Jesus admits to Peter that he knows that Peter does not know what is going on. He understands Peter's mind that is grounded in the world and in the world's thinking and in the world's way. He knows that this whole idea of servanthood is so alien from Peter. And he admits to him that he will grow to know what this all means. This is a promise to Peter that, Peter, I'm going to give you benefits of knowledge. And in time to come, you will know this. For Jesus answered in verse 7 and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know, when I was saved 45 years ago, I didn't know much. I remember those first few months after I was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I had to study the Word of God. I had to get things straightened out because I was raised in a belief system that was alien to the Scriptures. And I had to sort things out, and that God helped me sort things out. I came into His kingdom not knowing much, but He promised me that soon you'll know much. Soon you'll know, because I'll reveal those things to you. And the Lord did. So Jesus Christ wants Peter to learn that what he is doing now by washing the feet of his disciples is a picture. It is a sample of work which he will perform for his people when he returns to the Father. Peter, you do not see this now, but you will when the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. My, is the Holy Spirit working in your life? Is he teaching you all things? You know, you have to participate in this. We're co-laborers in that. You got to pick up your Bible. You got to read your Bible, and the Holy Spirit, as you read the Bible and study the Bible, the Holy Spirit will open that up to you. But if you just let it gather dust, what's the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to be grieved because you're not cooperating in the process. So this is a gentle rebuke to you, Peter. Faith should have guided you in your speech and your thoughts. Peter, does not the Lord do all things well? You know, we read Amy's testimony. She came to that conclusion that the Lord does all things well. So if he says, I'm going to wash your feet, you say, praise God, Jesus Christ is going to wash my feet. Isn't that wonderful? Because Jesus Christ does all things well. So if he wants to wash your feet, should you question that? Peter impetuously does question that, for in verse 8 he says, thou shalt never, oh, watch the word never, thou shalt never wash my feet. He's thinking of himself so highly here, thinking of himself, I'm not worthy of him washing my feet. And really, there's pride there. There's pride there. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, oh, I'm sure he looked boldly in Peter's eyes, and he said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Oh, how that pricked the heart of Peter. That pricked the heart of Peter. The language here is imperative. It's domineering. Peter is saying, Lord, you will never wash my feet at any time or at any place. Be careful of saying things like that. Why should I, the disciple, be washed by my master? You will never, never, never wash my feet. In this, Peter is saying, I will wash my own feet. Isn't that the message of the world? I will be satisfied with cleaning myself. How many times have you heard, I'm turning over a new leaf? You know, you can't. There's too many leaves. I was out yesterday picking up leaves with my mower. Oh, there's so many leaves. And there's never an end to leaves to turn over. There's always another one that you have to turn over. And Peter is saying, I'll be satisfied with cleaning myself. Well, you clean yourself up for hell. That's what you clean yourself up for. But Jesus said, if I wash thee not, you will have no part with me. You cannot wash yourself into being a Christian. You know, you cannot. Christ only saves those whom he washes. And those who will to wash themselves do not have the right cleansing agent for the job. My, you go down to the store today and there's a cleansing agent for every job. Every dirt, every particle of this and particle of that, there's a cleansing agent for everything, but there's no cleansing agents down there for your sin. Can't be done. And this is true not only for the saving of our souls, where the washing of the whole man is required, but for the washing of our defiled walk. This is the message of this passage. Our feet get dirty and require a daily cleansing, not by ourselves, but by Jesus Christ, by the Word of God. Jesus Christ is telling Peter in this passage that fellowship with him requires Peter to yield and submit his feet to Jesus Christ. Peter must submit his feet that have gotten dirty that day to the Word of God, so the Word of God can wash off the dirt of his daily walk. Are you getting the spiritual lesson here? Peter, this is not simply confession of sin and God's forgiveness. Peter, it is the searching out of the Word of that which leads you and me and all believers into sin. Peter, it is allowing the light of the Word of God to do a work of grace in your heart. You're to let the light shine in and search out those ways in your heart that are your ways, ways that are not God's ways. It's the attitude of the psalmist in Psalm 139, 23, and 24, where the psalmist cries out, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you have that kind of heart? To daily go to the Lord and say, search me, O God. Take that flashlight of the Word of God and shine it in my heart. All the hidden places, all the compartments that I've reserved for sin, shine it on those places and try me and know my thoughts. Discover those things that I might present them to you and cast them away and seek forgiveness. That is why it is so important to daily study God's Word so God can do the washing away of the dirt of our daily walk. You know, God does not take us away from the dirt of the world. That'll come later. As long as we are in this world, our feet will get dirty. You know, there's never a time of anybody reached the place of perfection. Anybody here that look at their feet and they're not dirty anymore? Do you go into the shower and exclude your feet from washing anymore because they're always clean? No, the lesson is always the same. Your feet get dirty as long as we are in this world. God knows that. But He has provided a remedy to remove the dirt, and that remedy is the Word of God. Jesus acted this out in this lesson. If you don't avail yourself of the washing of the Word, and your feet will continue to be dirty, fellowship with Jesus Christ is broken. Didn't He say that? If I don't wash your feet, I'll have no part with you. Now that's absolute. That's absolute. You can be away from Christ because you've not submitted yourself to the washing of His Word. So Peter hears this declaration from his master and realizes he is serious about breaking off fellowship. But his response indicates a lack of understanding of the full scope of Jesus' words. As usual, Peter drifts to the other end of the pendulum. So in John 13:9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So his emotional pendulum swings fully from the left to the right. No middle ground for Peter. You know, going way over here. No, you'll never wash my feet. And now wash my whole body. Peter's never didn't seem to last very long, did it? Because Jesus Christ said, I'll have no part with you. No middle ground for Peter. Don't stop with my feet only. Wash my hands and my head. You know, before he wished to tell the Lord what he could and could not do. Now he tells the Lord how things should be done. You know, you can't do this, you can't do this, but if you do this, this is how you should do it. Peter always had words of advice for the Lord, how human Peter was. Peter was us, was he not? We're so quick to give an opinion, even to God. You know, God tells us to trust. God tells us, I'm not interested in your opinions. Just trust me. So how the blood of Peter still flows in our veins. So Jesus responds to him in John 13:10. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Well, we put those last three words in there to indicate that not all of them were clean, but all of them were clean except that one. And they were already washed, according to Jesus Christ here. But he that is washed signifies the washing of the whole body. He that is washed means he that has been bathed. That is, his whole person has been cleansed. He is saying that acceptance in the beloved person of Jesus Christ requires a full bathing of the whole person. He's talking about salvation. But you know, salvation doesn't clean the dirty feet every day that needs to be washed again by the Word of God. That's the lesson that Jesus Christ is saying. If you want to have fellowship with me, there has to be an act upon my part. I'm to come to you with basin and towel and wash your feet. There's a partial cleansing that must take place because of the daily walk the believer makes in the way of this world. If your whole body is washed and you walk in the dust and the dirt of the way, all that is needed to be washed is your feet. We know this from our own experiences, don't we? We wash our bodies from time to time. You know, when I was a boy, we would take a bath once a week. We didn't even have a hot water heater in the house. My mother had to boil the water on the kerosene stove, pour it in the bathtub. My three sisters, they got to wash first, and I was the last. I was the boy. Boys don't need baths very infrequently. And I would get in that water. It wasn't very clean, but it was precious water because my mother had gone through all the trouble to get it into the bathtub. But you know, you didn't get a wash on Sunday. You didn't get a wash on Monday. You got it on Saturday night. And the rest of the time, you just kind of had to do a little baby washcloth. And that's the picture here. If your whole body is washed, and you walk in the dust and the dirt of the way, all that is needed to be washed is your feet. Jesus is saying that only a partial washing is needed if the full washing has taken place. You know, if you're saved, there needs to be a daily washing of your feet, because this world is a dusty place. This world is a dirty place. Oh, there's so much that gets on the feet that needs to be cleansed. But full washing does not replace the need for a daily partial washing as long as the dirty way of this world is traveled. Our daily contact with the evil of this world causes the spiritual affections of our heart to be dulled. God knows our nature. He knows this fallen nature that we have, and He knows that there's a remedy for this fallen nature. The remedy is salvation and the daily washing of the dirty feet. So a partial washing must take place to keep those spiritual affections strong. Peter, you have been washed, but as long as you remain in your natural body, a partial washing is needed to maintain fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, John had that same message in 1 John 1:6 when he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we what? Lie and do not the truth." You know, you can live a life where you're deceived. And there's so many in the visible church today that walk in darkness and claim to know Christ and claim to have fellowship with Christ. The Bible says they lie and do not the truth. In other words, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and have dirty, unwashed feet, we lie and do not the truth. So Jesus is telling Peter in this wonderful passage in the Gospel of John, "I expect you to maintain continual dependence upon me if we are to maintain fellowship." You know, the road of this life is dusty and dirty, and I know that in your strength you cannot wash away anything by yourself. You know, God has the cleansing power only. We can't wash ourselves. First of all, we can't be bathed in the water of the Word at salvation. That has to be done by God. Ye must be born again. And if that's the case, then our daily walk has to be done by the same Word of God. And God promises that here. He teaches that to Peter. Peter will understand this in time to come. Right now he doesn't. He says, "Wash my whole body, Lord. I don't want to lose fellowship with you." And yet Jesus Christ said, "He that is washed need not be washed again." So there again, there's a There's an example of eternal security of the believer. You know, if you're washed by the blood of Christ, it doesn't take another washing. The blood is effective. The blood is effectual. But every day, the Word of God needs to cleanse our feet because this whole world is dusty and dirty and evil and wicked. And be careful of maintaining that fellowship with our wonderful Lord. Father, we are thankful for our Lord who washes our feet daily by the Word of God. And help us, Lord, to yield them to Thee. Not be like Peter to pull them back, saying, never, 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 we'll wash them ourselves. But we know we can't wash them ourselves. We know that only You have the right water, the right basin, the right towel, the right cleansing agent, the blood of Jesus Christ, who washes away sin. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.